The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Steelhouse Poker Club. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not a no, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. We are out here at Steelhouse Poker, where this weekend, their $100,000 guaranteed tournament. Registration open today for another hour and 32, which I assume is for rebuys, but I'm guessing you can still get out here and get in. 176 is what they started with today, 160 remaining. They'll do day 1B tomorrow, 100,000 guaranteed, and man, really good atmosphere. Come out here and see all these people in a big room playing a big poker tournament, and then by Sunday when it's down to a couple tables and you look around, you see all that emptiness, and you think of all the despair.
Yeah, but then you feel good because you're still in it.
Exactly. Unless you're one of the guys who you're just watching your friend play and you're thinking, remember when there were five tables left, I was still here? 713-780-ESPN. Here's a good question from 713, because we were talking to Barry about
interesting
this.
Interesting question.
Interesting question. When it rained, my question is, when is your personal rule is when to jump in on a tournament? Do you arrive early and play the first hand? Are you the type to show up after level one or two if a game has 20 to 30-minute levels? Depends on the tournament. If it's one of those short little four-hour things, I like to be there from the beginning.
Same.
A tournament like this, I don't want to jump in too late. Like, now they're level six and the blinds are 500, 1,000, 1,000 because they have basically the antes, so you're paying two big blinds. I don't want to jump in for 25,000 at that point. I would say if I'm going to start late, it would have probably been around level three. I don't want to go too much longer than that. But
again, I don't want to start late at all. I want to see as many hands as possible.
The thing is, I'd like to be on time, because not that I'm necessarily going to play for the first level or two, but I'm trying to find out what the other players are about. And that's valuable information.
You've missed out on a lot of it if you miss two rounds.
Yeah, the only time I'm ever doing something like that is if I'm at work and I'm having to come in and play late. Like, I had to do it. I had to do one night here when I went and played. I had to go after the show, and they were already pretty far along. And I wound up cashing, but it wasn't. I was always kind of behind the game.
Right.
I felt like I was chasing the game a lot because I was already a little short. So, I mean, ideally, I like to be there right at the beginning and just observe and see who's playing what. See the guy who's going all the way to the river in deep pots with just one pair,
and then throwing it away
because that's the guy I want. And seeing the tight, smart players and knowing that I better have something. And
finding out who raises every single hand,
yeah,
no matter what.
Yeah, and I like to – and I always watch to the river how a hand plays out if they go to showdown and you get to see people's hands. So you know what they were doing the whole time and what their thought process was. Because most guys are pretty – most players are going to sort of fall back on the same thing. They have a certain style of play. And one hand can teach you a ton about a guy.
Yeah.
And sometimes it'll throw you off because a guy may do that just because he wants you to see that. Now, that's something I learned from Matt Dean. Is sometimes if you know you want to give a certain impression, you want to get the showdown and show a hand that you go, what the hell's he doing? He's a knucklehead. And you want him to think you're a knucklehead. But, you know, that's – most people aren't thinking that way, because that's when you're getting into really good players. 713-780-ESPN. I'm getting a lot of people agreeing with you about that show. I'm going to have to watch it now.
It's four episodes, four one-hour episodes, and I'm halfway through it.
Okay, because I like that.
It's a manageable watch. It's like watching a long movie.
All right, so here's the seven must-see movies that I touted never got to. And the first one's Deadpool 2, which, okay, I think we all want to see that.
We'll all see it.
Not a problem. Number two on the list, Solo, A Star Wars Story.
I don't know if I'm going to watch it, I'll be honest. My wife and kids want to watch it. I don't know if I care.
It's funny because I read a bunch of critics have said this is the worst of the Star Wars ones, which, you know, except for the second one.
It can't be bad. It can't be worse than episode two.
No, but I mean, honestly, I had no interest in it. And then I saw the previews and I thought, you know what? That doesn't look bad.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really like, oh, I'm going to go see it. I'm probably going to wait until some of you guys go and see it and see what you say.
When I was a kid and we used to, like, me and my friends would play Star Wars, I would always want to be Han Solo. I thought it was way cooler to be Han Solo than to be Luke Skywalker.
I was Chewbacca.
You would have been my sidekick, my buddy. Yeah. But, yeah, Han Solo was my favorite character. I just don't know if I don't know if I want to watch any more Star Wars.
Actually, Darth Vader was my favorite character.
Of course he was.
But, yeah, I just think the whole thing has been overdone now. And I didn't watch Rogue One. I just kind of lost interest in it. Maybe it's just being old. So I'm probably going to pass until it comes on cable. Ocean's 8.
Is this the Chick Oceans movie?
This is the Chick Oceans movie.
Excuse me, the female Oceans movie?
Can we even say that? How about this? The non-male Oceans movie.
Okay.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, I don't really have any interest in that.
I barely liked the second Ocean, like Ocean's 12.
But we need to get used to this because women are ruling the world now.
It's
fair. They took over Road Warrior. They took over Ghostbusters, and now they're taking over Oceans. Incredibles 2.
My wife and kids are so excited about it, but the truth is I've never seen Incredibles 1.
Really? I actually like the first one.
It's good.
Yeah, I'm not big on those kind of movies, but I like the first one. I will watch the second one. This is probably my second most anticipated movie, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, that one I'd like to watch.
Yeah, I'm guessing that there's something that ties it to Infinity War at the end where one of them disappears or something. So, Mission Impossible Fallout.
Nope.
I still like those.
I don't.
They're all the same. The plots are exactly the same.
They're like Fast and Furious movies to me. Nothing ever changes. I don't like it.
But I enjoy those. To me, they're kind of like candy. You know, it's like, I just like to eat candy. I don't really eat candy, but if I still ate candy every now and then, it's like,
Just like when the Bourne Atrocity comes out, I'm not going to want to watch it. The Bourne Philosophy.
I was never as into the Bourne movies. Yeah.
And I like those Bourne movies more than I like Mission Impossible movies, mostly because I hate Tom Cruise.
You know what?
I can't take him seriously.
I don't like him as a person, but almost everything he's in, I enjoy those movies. When I was real young, I watched the original Mission Impossible, so I've always kind of liked the concept. And here's one that I think John's going to have to tell us about. Number one on their list, Crazy Rich Asians.
I haven't even heard of this.
I have not either. John, can you help us out? What is Crazy Rich Asians about?
I barely heard. I haven't heard too much about it, but it's, you know, I need to read up on the premise, but something that, you know, obviously catches my attention.
Oh, I wonder why. And then the list says one movie you shouldn't care about, and I agree, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. I am not going to go see that. I thought the last one was awful.
Yeah, I don't care about Jurassic
World. And then I made a bunch of people mad because I got on Facebook and said, all you people who told me that this was a good movie, never talk to me again. It was awful. And, you know, I like Chris Pratt, and it was just,
yeah.
So anyway, that's your list. I mean, that's a pretty good list, really. The only ones that I'm not interested in are Ocean's 8, and I need to find out more about John's movie. But other than that, Incredibles 2. Well, Solo, I don't know about. Am I just old that I don't like Star Wars anymore?
No. I think it's been oversaturated.
I kind of knew that was going to happen when Disney took over.
Yeah.
You knew that. Because how many years did we have to wait for the second three? But, I mean, they sell an awful lot of lightsabers and Chewbacca costumes, so, and those little figurines, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
So they got to keep doing movies.
Fred, I think you would enjoy Rogue One.
Really? Everybody tells me that, and it actually was on one of my cable channels a couple weeks ago, and I almost watched it. And then, yeah, a Stalker Brian with a good point is the guy from the Whiskey Neat podcast playing, talking about poker. I'd like to win some free money. Yeah, I really would like to sit at a table with him. Yeah, putting it as nicely as possible. I think that would fund a few more things. All right. In fact, I'd probably be able to afford a Harley-Davidson.
Yeah, let me tell you guys about Republic Harley-Davidson. They had a bike night last night. They'll have another one next month where you can register to win a free Harley-Davidson. They're going to give one away in October. You can only register to win at bike nights. I'll let you know when the next one is. This is absolutely the best Harley dealership in the Houston area. They've got a fantastic inventory of both new and pre-owns. You're going to find the bike of your dreams there. And their sales staff, out of this world. They're friendly, they're professional, they're knowledgeable. And for me, a big deal is the service department, because I only want the best in the business taking care of my bike, taking it apart, putting it together. The guys at Republic Harley-Davidson, they treat it right. They've got 7 master technicians on staff, so I know there's never going to be some random hourly employee taking my bike apart and putting it back together. I don't want that. You shouldn't want that. They're on this Saturday from 9 to 11. You go in and test drive any bike, you get a free hot breakfast. And while you're there, take a look at the new 2018 Softail Sportsters. You buy one of those, you get your choice of a helmet, jacket, and boots package, a Stage 1 performance upgrade, or a 4-year extended service plan only at Republic HD. Whatever your Harley needs, service, newer pre-owned bikes, merchandise, riding classes, Republic Harley-Davidson's the best in Houston. Financing for everyone, 12707 Southwest Freeway in Stafford, just outside the Beltway, or online at RepublicHD.com. That's Republic Harley-Davidson.
This is our only hope. Church bells and choir sound, settle quiet down. Bow your head, the Most High's around. Lord, these things.
I'm not going very far.
It's too uncomfortable.
I'm in a hurry. Sometimes I just forget.
There's no such thing as a good excuse for not buckling up. You're not only putting yourself at risk of injury or death, it could also cost you lots of money. Cops are writing tickets, so why take the risk? Do the smart thing and start buckling up every trip, day or night. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Still Snoop Dogg and D.I. Guess who's back?
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. Texts are asking how many total entries so far out here. 181. There's 159 left. So they're going to blow away that 100,000.
Oh, yeah.
Because tomorrow, you know they're going to I think there'll be more people tomorrow. And you could still register for another hour and 17 minutes. So, yeah, come on out here. Stillhouse Poker, very easy to find. It's right off 45 West Road. If you exit West Road, make sure you get ready to turn pretty fast, because Waze sneaks up on you. And when it's like you have arrived, like, whoa, wait a minute. And, yeah, you have to turn right there. But pretty cool place, man. Come and check it out. Get in on the tournament. They've got this is their big opening weekend. A lot of room here, and it's really got that big tournament feel to it, which is – cool, man. Almost everybody's telling me I need to watch Rogue One, so a lot of people I actually trust, so I guess I'll have to. I have a story that I wanted to share with you that I wonder if this is more common than we think, apparently. And they didn't name the kid, but one of the top draft picks in the NHL last year.
Mario Lemieux.
No, he's dead.
Oh.
Well, he's not dead, but he's 150.
Okay.
Apparently has a video game addiction that may keep him out of the league.
Oh, boy.
So,
it's going to happen more and more, too.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I don't think this is that far-fetched. He says, on video games, and I'm not going to say the player's name, I really doubt he's going to make it to the NHL. And it's because of a video game addiction. To the point where his junior general manager told me that they've had him go to counseling over it.
Jeez.
Because he'll play until all hours of the night and into the morning, and then he'll have no energy the next day. Like, it'll be a write-off. And it is that bad. He has this compulsion for playing video games until all hours. I swore that I wouldn't say the player's name, but it's unfortunate. He's a recent first-round draft pick for a very, very prominent NHL team. Will probably never play in the NHL because of a video game addiction.
God. That's wild, man.
Yeah, I can see it. Because there's times, there's games I get addicted to where I'd stay up all night and play and then realize, okay, this is kind of dumb. I have a job.
Right.
But I could see
we also have a job where you know,
we could get away with that. Yeah, yeah, it's like if I really wanted to get totally trashed the night before a show, I can do it because I got till 4 o'clock. But if I want to stay up until 5 playing video games, I could, and I've done that before. I haven't been able to do it lately just because I've got these other job things to do.
Right.
Like Sports Map, which, by the way, go check out AJ's article on Sports Map today. He says it's time to appreciate what you have in LeBron James.
Yeah. Justin Van Zandt just retweeted it.
Really?
Yeah.
Now millions of people are going to see
it. Yeah, he said it was good.
There you go.
And in fact, he said it was, this is a direct quote, great read.
I like that.
Yeah.
I thought it was very good.
He knows.
Yeah.
He knows what's great.
He's a superstar.
That's right.
He's a country music superstar, and country music superstars know what's good.
They know what's good.
Yeah. But
George Strait read my article today.
Did he?
Yes, I think. I don't know for sure.
Randy Travis?
I don't know. He didn't.
Hank Williams Sr.?
No. No.
Waylon Jennings?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Charlie Pride?
No.
Okay. I'm just trying. I'm picking the dead ones. But
the KFC Reba did read it, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I like her.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, KFC Reba is hot.
Yeah.
Something about her as an old man.
I think it's the mustache that you like.
I don't know what it is.
Because you love having sex with people with mustaches.
No, I don't. I don't, but...
As the guy with the mustache sits awkwardly at the bar and tries to divert his eyes
doesn't,
from you now.
Doesn't look like Reba. Sorry.
She doesn't look like the Colonel, no.
No. There's something about Reba as the Colonel that I find sexy. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just that. Well, you know what? I like costumes, and it's a costume. Yeah. If you want to break it down to its simplest thing, I think women are
You're
much more...
You're into cosplay.
I you know, without ever actually... Okay, I'm going to admit that right here and now. Without ever actually knowing that until now, I think you're right.
Well, now you know.
Because when women dress up in costumes, I find it very attractive. Even if, you know, I think it takes them from like a 4 to a 6. Easy. All right. So AJ's article's on Sports Map. Go check it out. You can follow us on Twitter at SportsMapHOU. Also, very cool video from Mindy. Our young lady Mindy went out and got Michael Wilbon to sit down and talk Rockets Warriors.
I'll be damned.
So check that out. There's a video there. All my Preakness stuff is there, including free trifecta plays.
What did Mork do on the website today?
Mork didn't do a damn thing. Because Mork
also,
is
he's dead.
Mork is in a can as a bunch of ashes somewhere, and I don't think ashes can actually contribute to Sports Map.
R.I.P. Mork.
Yeah, and. Our buddy Jerry Bowe's gambling guide's on there, 14-0 in his last 14 bets.
My goodness.
So that's how I knew I was going to lose my hockey bet because I went against him on the hockey. And, of course, he went 6-0. And, he's been killing it.
Hey, is it safe to say that, you know, we've talked about a little bit this year with the Astros how some of these pitchers came from other places, like whether it be Charlie Morton or Justin Verlander or Garrett Cole. And once they got with the Astros coaching staff, things clicked for him. You know what I'm talking about? Like that? How
are you?
I'm not accusing anyone.
You're
of
not
PEDs.
Going Tyler, Trevor, Bauer.
No,
on
I'm
the
not.
Market. I'm just curious.
I'm just noting that it sometimes can work the other way because if you've been paying attention to what JD Martinez is doing,
yeah,
he's basically the best player in baseball now. He's hit 7 home runs in the last 2 weeks. He's hitting like .340 over that time.
He was great last year, especially when he was in Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, he is just a machine, and you never would have thought it when he was here, never. And then as soon as he got out of here, it's like, whoa, this guy this guy can play a little. I just think it's funny.
Wasn't that the old crew though?
Yeah. Just saying. I just think it's funny how you may be able to get with a certain coach. And I know there's been a lot of credit heaped upon this Astros pitching coaching staff, and rightfully so, mind you. But I do think it's crazy how you could be a major league ball player, and then sometime during your major league career, find a coach that just really fits you and completely redefine who you are as a player.
Or maybe you just found a better way to hide the steroids.
No, it could be. Hmm. Or who are you talking about, Garrett Cole?
No. He's just cheating on his spin rate somehow.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure how they're cheating, but they're cheating.
JD Martinez also cheating?
Oh, yeah, it has to be, right?
For sure.
But, no, I good for him, though. I think he's
I always liked him when he was here. It just it never happened for him.
He couldn't get it to click.
So, yeah, 713-780-ESPN is your number if you wish to get in. And we got a lot of other stuff I wanted to get to, but we're going to have RJ next. And it'll be the first time we've talked to him since the gambling law was repealed. And I'm interested. We talked about it a little bit on the Preakness podcast for about a minute, and I think there's some fascinating stuff that we'll be able to get to with RJ. So we'll do that when we come back. Right now, I'm going to tell you, you know where I went today?
Treasures.
No, no. But if I had, I'd been a lot more interested. I can tell you that.
The rub and tug.
No, but again, I'd have been a lot better off.
Where'd you go?
Now, I went to visit our good friends at Eros Medical Group who, guess what? I'm going to be able to go to those places if I want because they're a new male wellness clinic in Houston, all kinds of services. They specialize in men's health. And what they want to do, they want to awaken your inner Greek god because the name comes from the Greek god Eros. If you're a mythology novice, it's a Greek god of love, the guy with the bow and arrow, and that's where they want to help you. And they focus on regenerative medicine. I don't know why I can't say regenerative, but that's what they focus on. And it's used to provide, it's proven to help men with hair loss, anti-aging, and those suffering with erectile dysfunction. And guess what? They've got all kinds of other stuff, and this is they're helping me. They've got non-surgical sports medicine, Botox. How about this weight loss management, which is something that I can definitely use and will be working with on them on. And hormone replacement therapy and much more. And the cool thing about it is, you know, Shane and the guys, they've been through it. They know exactly what you're going through if you're having problems. If you're just not – in my case, I'm fine. I'm just not quite what I was a few years ago. Well, that's to be expected because I'm getting up there. So they're helping me out. And Dr. Ike's great. They're going to talk you through it. They're going to find the best plan for you. They're going to have a man cave there that's going to be dedicated to sports, flat screen, sports games, and might even be some adult beverages. Right now, Eros Medical is offering a free consultation. It doesn't cost you anything to go talk to them and find out what it's about. And that's how I got involved with them because I just sat down with them, started talking to them about it, and suddenly I'm like, hey, you know what? This is something I can use, and this is something that's going to help me. So give them a call today, 833-2-MY-EROS. That's 833-2-MY-EROS. You can visit them online at erosmedicalgroup.com to set up your free consultation. Tell them I said hello. They will take care of you. Eros Medical, awaken your inner Greek god.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Steelhouse Poker Club. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, live here at Steelhouse Poker Club. The 100K guaranteed is underway, so you can come on out and get your piece of that. 181 players on day 1A, day 1B tomorrow. Joining us now, as he does every Friday, he is a legend. He is the gambling guru of the universe. RJ Bell from pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. And perhaps most importantly, host of the greatest Preakness podcast in the history of the world. What's going on, RJ?
Who else was on that podcast?
I can't remember. You know, I'm old and I forget things, but I do know that RJ hosted it.
It was quite good. It was quite good. You know, a lot of people might hear Fred and, you know, you're not quite, he seems confident, but you're not quite sure if he knows what he's talking about. Well, when it comes to the horses, the guy wrote a book on it. He knows his stuff. I learned a lot every time we talk about it. And I think the Preakness Pod was a good one.
I will say I did hear another Preakness podcast that I would argue is better. It was hosted by the lead singer of Styx and Catch Me Outside Girl, but they had some really good insight too. So I've heard that
well,
you guys are in
the
top two podcasts about the Preakness that I've heard so far.
How's that song go? I can't sail away, can't sail away. Yeah, or Mr. Roboto. I mean,
yeah, that's a good one too.
Whatever I do, I cannot compete with Mr. Roboto. I accept it.
RJ, I thought that you asked a really interesting question interesting question on Twitter the other day, and I was curious what the end result was, because you didn't put up the poll. I wish you had put up the poll so I didn't have to ask you, but you basically said, if you're at the Celtics, would you rather lose Brad Stevens or a key player? And I'm curious what the consensus was to that.
And I actually made it even more, I think, in a way, positive for Stevens. I said, would you rather lose Stevens for the rest of the series or the Celtics' best player? Okay. And I think what that distinction actually drove the responses, which I think the most common was, well, who is the Celtics' best player? The fact that we have to ask that answers the question. Meaning, if you don't know who the best player is, well, losing that person probably isn't as bad as it might seem. And I had people say multiple players, including Brown, which was surprised. I think more people were saying Brown, which actually really surprised me. So maybe we start there. Who right now for this series specifically, who is the player, if you had a Celtics ticket, would you least want to lose?
Man, it's so funny because I think there's literally four acceptable answers, but I'd probably say Jaylen Brown just based on this series alone, what we've seen so far. Although Jason Tatum is tough to say no to also.
Wow, so you're in the Brown camp too. I mean,
I think Horford. I mean, that's fair also. I'm also thinking about who's having to defend LeBron, who's responsible for that, and it's never going to be Al Horford. But I think it's either Tatum or Brown for me. Rozier is another guy I wouldn't argue if you said him, the way he's played.
So it's interesting. We did and I'm rethinking this, meaning this certainly wasn't a position I felt strongly about even a week ago, is – it seems like the fact that obviously lost the player in the preseason, obviously Kyrie was the big name. But if you're at the point where potentially a Rozier is the player that you most would not want to lose, I mean, where would Rozier have been on the list of key players entering the year?
Oh, sixth, maybe. Not in the top five, for sure. Maybe seventh. I would think preseason I would have said – Hayward and Irving, obviously, 1 and 1A, whatever order you want to put them in. I would have said Al Horford. I would have said Jaylen Brown. I would have said Marcus Smart. I would have said Jason Tatum. You might even get down to Aaron Baines before I would come at you with Terry Rozier.
So if Rozier is playing as well as you would expect the players who's been hurt potentially, I mean, would we really be sure, for example, that Irving, if we would say, okay, would you right now replace Irving with Brown? Meaning that if you had to swap him out and they said, all right, Irving can come back, he's healthy, but you got to lose Brown. Would you clearly and cleanly make that trade?
Yes.
You would. So you would expect Irving would be the best, because you just said Brown has played better than anybody. So you think Irving would have played the best of all the Saudis?
I mean, I think Irving is a guy who has experience. He's won a championship. He's played in multiple finals. That's the kind of experience I think a team like this needs for a team that really has nobody who's won anything. So, yeah, I would take Kyrie Irving.
And I guess what this is coming down to is the idea that what looks a certain way on paper versus the way that it manifests itself in reality are two different things. And I think you're right. You can look at the Celtics and the two key players they've lost and say on paper, those might be the two best players on the team. I just wonder, would either of them, and I'm not sure, and I'd like to hear what Fred thinks, is I agree entering the playoffs or entering this series, if you would say, who would you expect to do better, Brown or Irving? I think Irving's the answer. But now that we've got these two games, to say, would Irving have played better in those two games than Brown did? I think the answer has to be less than 50% chance that he would have. because just the standard Irving game, let's assume we're going to get the standard Irving game. Is that standard Kyrie Irving game better than the best Celtic game? And let's assume that's been played in the first two games. So in a weird way, these replacement players are playing better than I think we would have expected out of the guys that we've lamented so much have been lost.
And how much of that comes down to coaching? Because, it seems like he's getting the most out of whoever's out there.
And what's scary for if you're a Cavs fan, and this is a powerful concept to put in your back pocket. Coaching matters so much more than the playoffs in the NBA than the regular season. The reason being you're playing multiple games and there's significant time off between the games to prepare. So what ends up happening is, okay, game one, both teams are doing what they their first best choice of how to win. Then the opposing coach looks and says, okay, I'm going to try to stop this, this, and this. Or maybe just one thing. I'm going to try to stop this. And usually that adjustment works. Now, is the team able to, the opponent, find an alternative? And then after game two, okay, we're going to try this. And maybe there's certain things it takes them two games to figure out how to stop. It's how quickly does a team run out of viable offensive options? And that's why, and we've talked about this a number of times, having an unstoppable top three player is so vital to winning a title, because in 4-7 game series, and it used to be a 5-game series early, but in the modern era, the 4-7 game series, you've got to be in a position where you don't run out of offensive options in any of those four series. Well, with Michael Jordan, you never are going to run out because he was unstoppable. And you could make the case, I think it's fair, that with LeBron, you're never going to run out. And I think with Golden State, you're never going to run out. And with all these teams that are, you know, just good enough to get to the conference finals, it's oftentimes they meet a team that has equal, if not more, good players, and a coach is able to get to the point where that team that he's playing, it doesn't have any options left on offense because they've stopped them all over the seven games. And 2 points. One, the fact that Stevens is the best coach left and maybe the best coach in the NBA, with Pop being, I think, the real question.
Yeah, they're the only two in the discussion.
Is all right, fair. And again, I'm interested to see what you think of Kerr. Because even a year or two ago, people thought maybe Kerr is in the mix. But then I hear the real X's and O's guys saying he makes some real blunders sometimes. You know, I don't know. What do you think? Where would Kerr be in your ranking?
I mean, he's good, but I've also never seen him coach a team that wasn't just ridiculously overloaded with talent. So it's kind of hard to say. It's sort of the Phil Jackson, you know, is he such a great coach or does he just coach really great teams? But I kind of saw, even with Mark Jackson, that Golden State team was going to be pretty special. And I think Steve Kerr just came along at the right time. I think he's a good coach, don't get me wrong. But I think when you talk about Brad Stevens or Greg Popovich, these are guys who, and you're seeing it now with the Celtics, and we talked about who do they have right now. They don't have any players who you would look at and say, that guy is a superstar in the NBA. And in a time where you need superstars to win NBA titles, I think it's reasonable to think that the Celtics have a shot because they have a superstar coach, which I don't remember the last time that a team basically got somewhere on the shoulders of their coach in the NBA. It doesn't happen.
Well, I'll be honest. I would say Mark Jackson losing in the first round of the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken, the year before, is not right. A sign of, oh, this team should win 73 games and win the title the next year. They were 25-1, the Warriors, that year to win the title. That's the biggest long shot we've seen in the NBA in a long, long time. So now the question is it the Kerr system or is it the coaching, which is actually two different things, right? And the coach does both, puts in a system. But in theory, if Popovich retired tomorrow, one of his assistants would still run his system. He just wouldn't necessarily run it as well. I think the system was the key for Golden State, maybe not the coaching. But Kerr should get credit for that. It's just I think we saw it with Luke Walton with a, in theory, lesser coach, right? He was the assistant. They did, I mean, In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Luke Walton with Golden State has a better record than Kerr does with Golden State, right?
Yeah, he did. Because they had that amazing. Pretty solid when he was there.
Yeah, because they had that historic streak, if I remember. So, yes.
If let's say right now the Celtics and the Cavs traded coaches, or they traded coaches before the start of this series, do you think there's any chance that the Celtics are up 2-0? Because I think no.
Yeah, I hear you. The question is how bad the Cavs are other than LeBron. I mean, here, let me pose the following. If you took the best player off of every team, I think the case could be made that Boston would be one of the best teams, if not the best. I think you can make the case Golden State would be one of the best teams, if not the best. And I would make the case Cleveland might be the worst team in the NBA.
Oh, I mean, I don't think Cleveland would be very good, but I've seen teams before where Kevin Love is the best player. They're bad teams.
Kevin Love, that was a different Kevin Love.
Yeah. But physically. I feel like they're not devoid of talent outside of LeBron, but they wouldn't be a playoff team without him. I believe that for sure.
Do you feel confident you could see five or six teams that the Cavs are better than if every team had their best player removed?
Yeah, I tend to think with Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson, and obviously they'd have to.
Is he playing?
Yeah, Tristan Thompson plays basically one side of the ball, but he plays. I think they would have to completely change their system, obviously, because you can't run everything through one guy that have been. But, yeah, I don't think they'd be the worst team in the league. I do think they'd be close to the worst team, though.
But let's agree with the following. I think if the final four teams had their best player removed, probably Golden State would be the best team in the league without Durant. I think Boston would probably be the second best team without take your choice. And I'm saying even the way they are now, forget if they had Hayward and Irving back.
And Kyrie.
Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. So – and I think Houston without Harden is again, understanding the rest of the league also loses their best player. I don't know. Are they the sixth or seventh? I think they're right. You know, they're not the best, but they're one of the better teams. I think it's the fact that Cleveland is so bad relatively other than LeBron. And LeBron did play a lot of minutes this year. And I tell you, I thought him having that monster game, I mean, that's at Hulk Hogan. You know, the analogy I've been using is it takes a great team to stand up against LeBron in an elimination game when he goes into dad mode, as I call it, where he starts waving his Hulk Hogan finger, remember? And the other guy would be hitting him. He wouldn't even feel it because he's hulking up. Well, when LeBron goes into that mode, it takes a great team to knock him out. And since LeBron became a champion, the only teams that beat him in a series is Golden State twice, and a very, very, I think, a great Spurs team. That's it. Three teams, since he became a champion, have eliminated LeBron. And to me, I didn't think Boston was that great of a team. But when you see what happened in game two, when LeBron played, I mean, can LeBron play better?
Not than what he did. Well, maybe he could play better, but not much better than what he did in game two. Game one, he was not very good.
Yeah, but game two was, if they would have got the split, it would have been fine.
Yeah, game two, he was phenomenal.
Game two, LeBron had a dad game, and they still lost. And they lost, quite frankly, and it wasn't that close at the end.
Yeah, so I know a big story about LeBron today. And going through the numbers of what the Cavs have done in these playoffs, nobody else on the Cavaliers has averaged more than 6 made baskets per game, which is almost ridiculous. I mean, that's the second best guy on the team is like 5.8. a field goal makes per game, which is just, you can't win that way in the NBA. I mean, and for LeBron to be doing what he's doing, I think is impressive, because if you remember, everybody thought that they were going to lose to Indiana in the first round, and then he drug them out of that, and then he basically got a guy who might have been the favorite to win Coach of the Year fired in Toronto, sweeping them in 4 games. To me, what LeBron's doing in spite of the talent around him is pretty impressive. But I also think that this is probably the least talented team that LeBron has had a chance to take to a finals since the first year that he made it against San Antonio and got beat back in, what was it, 2007 or whenever it was when they got swept by the Spurs.
I agree. I agree with who's the third best. I agree with what you're saying. Who's the third best player on the Cavs?
I mean, it depends on the day. I mean, sometimes it's J.R. Smith. Sometimes J.R. Smith is horrible. I don't know if there's a guy
if J.R. Smith were out of the league next year, would it be shocking?
No. But so here's to your earlier point though. If I took Devin Booker off the Suns, who were the worst team in the league, you don't think a Kevin Love led Cavs is better than the Suns without their best player? Or
maybe.
If you take Harrison Barnes off the Mavericks, or you take, God, I don't even know who the Kings' best player is these days, but you take him off the Kings, the Kevin Love-led Cavs aren't better than those guys?
No, but I think that there's a distinction here without a difference. I think you might find three or four or six or seven teams worse than the Cavs in that scenario, but it's still they're going to be in the bottom quarter of the league.
No doubt.
And Boston and Golden State are in the top, you know, five, however you want to parse it out. And Houston's right there. So I agree, LeBron's still the best player. It's just his supporting. And again, I blame LeBron. He has been the GM for a couple of years.
This is and what he put
his
together.
Ego allowed, and again, we can debate all we want about does he have a secret ownership in these agents and, you know, the other players are being some of them represented by LeBron's guy. And, you know, how's LeBron making money off of that? Well, he gets off on, hey, this guy's going to be loyal to me because I got him 15 more million than he could have gotten on the open market. And who cares? Gilbert's paying for it. F him. I mean, you reap what you sow. And the idea that literally they're going to turn over, three, four, five major players past the halfway mark of the season? What team competitive for the title ever has done that?
Well, but you can also argue that had they kept Isaiah Thomas and those guys who were – I mean, Isaiah Thomas was he was basically screwing up everything that LeBron wanted to do. If they had kept Isaiah Thomas there, do you really think this team would be in the Eastern Conference Finals right now?
I was on national radio saying I thought this was a humongous mistake, the trade. And here's why. It's back to the Saints conversation we had. Is your goal to win the most games in the next 10 years, or is your goal to max your chance to win a title in the next 2 years? And let's go to the Cleveland example quickly. Was your goal to win the most games for the rest of the year, or was your goal to say, give us a 7-1 chance to win the title? Because that's about the best Cleveland would have had, let's say. I think after the trade, their odds cut in half. I think they went, if they would have kept who they had, I think there's a chance. Now, I know it's not likely. There's a chance that Isaiah would have bought in. There's a chance that Isaiah would have got healthy. And lo and behold, Isaiah, even at 90%, is so much, with Kevin Love still, right, is so much better than this team now. And I know it wasn't likely, but it wasn't likely you were going to win the title anyway. So I think you got to play the high variance chance instead of trading for a bunch of retreads that you knew weren't going to ever take you to a title. And none of them are doing anything.
No, none of them are. But Isaiah Thomas didn't do anything basically for the rest of the year either. But Isaiah Thomas wasn't going to change. He's what he's always been. He's an undersized ball hog who doesn't play defense.
Wait, so the wasn't he third in MVP voting? So if he was what he's always been,
are you
he'd
saying
be
ball
good.
Hogs can't be third in MVP voting? I mean, it's very possible. But I'm just telling you, when Kyrie Irving or not when Kyrie Irving, when Isaiah Thomas was asked to be, you know, the lead dog on at that point not a great Celtics team, not an uber talented Celtics team. Yeah, he did some good things. The problem is he got to Cleveland. And he didn't want to change his game. He didn't want to understand that I'm not better than LeBron James. I have to defer to him. I have to change my game to fit what LeBron does. And that's the reality of what he had to do.
How much of that is his fault? And how much of that is the fault of LeBron for not making it happen?
Well, it's not necessarily – I don't know that it's either their fault. I mean, to me, it was a bad – and you can ask Fred. I said this when Kyrie Irving sort of forced the trade. I said, there's no win for the Cavaliers here. There's no way they can get back a player for Kyrie Irving that is going to replace what he had, what he brought. But, and when they said it was Isaiah Thomas, I said, oh, you could forget it. Isaiah Thomas is not even half the player Kyrie Irving is. I don't care how high he finished in the MVP voting. He's never going to be half the player Kyrie Irving is.
So isn't that, to end this part of the conversation, and I think we're getting to the end here, isn't that the ultimate indictment of LeBron? That in a league where you need three good, you know, where he started it, where the big three, right? He went to Miami and won multiple titles with the big three. Then Golden State and Durant, you can say it's good or you can say it's bad, said, hey, we want more than two elite players, right? And some people might say their top four is for the 14 best. I've heard people say that. Okay, then you look at Houston, where you got CP3, an ego guy from all accounts, or at least a guy that's got staunch beliefs, and Harden, a guy that's going to win the MVP. They are together. But somehow, some way, a Cavs team that had a weak big three, as in Love being super weak to be a big three at this point, Irving being a mighty good number two, you could make the case that Irving on the Cavs, I don't think you could make the case he's better than Curry, but you could say they're close. So if LeBron is slightly better than Durant and Curry is slightly better than Kyrie, you could make the case that the top two evened out, and now it's about the rest of the team. To say to have that two get so frustrated at you being a prima donna or whatever you're being as LeBron that you lose your two, how can you win in this league with just one guy?
But I don't know that we know it was all about LeBron being a prima donna or if it was about Kyrie Irving wanting to be the man somewhere. And that's why I think it's unfair to put that on LeBron.
Except in – you're right. I don't know. You're right. I can't be certain of it. But isn't it a coincidence that it seems like LeBron runs through his welcome pretty quickly?
All right. I got to cut you guys off right there because we're
every week we get cut off, RJ.
3 minutes over. I let you go minutes over.
By the way, for Houston out there, I like AJ. AJ likes me. I owe it to him to correct him, though, sometimes. That's all.
There's always the questions on Twitter every time we argue of if we actually like each other. Yeah,
they do that to us, too, when we argue. So, all right, thanks, RJ. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys.
All right. We are out here at Steelhouse Poker Room, and if you get a chance, come check this place out. Very cool. Staff is very friendly.
If you won the whole tournament here,
yeah,
how many Eagles would you buy? With the money,
Would
you want to be some basic dude who had two Eagles?
I don't want one or two, and I certainly don't want four because that's
too many.
Yeah,
it's too many Eagles. So Tri-Eagle would be the perfect sweet spot. Tri-Eagle Energy, guys. There's a lot of energy companies out there. There's always different offers. They're going to range from free weekends to free days, $600 bonuses, solar days, whatever it is. And that sounds great on paper, and you may have fallen for one of those offers, and then months later you find out, wait a minute, I'm paying a higher rate, or there's some additional fees on my bill. What happened here? Tri-Eagle keeps it simple. Rate you see, that's the rate you're going to pay. There's no gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges for going over a certain amount of electricity. It's just good, honest business from a good, honest, born-in-Texas company. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or log on to TriEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN for an additional discount. That's 877-93-EAGLE or TriEagleEnergy.com, promo code ESPN. PUCT license number 10064.
ESPN 97.5.